In other words, this is not a man on the street type thing, you know? That's the only way I, as a defense attorney, I think you could you sort of go with that.
Tough, man.
It's a tough one. No, you're screwed.
I think that's just...
You're going to jail.
It's just a matter of how long, right?
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, how long are you going for?
And we'll see him. I don't know what his record is. I don't know, like, if he doesn't, if this is first, you know.
Yeah, how many offenses?
Yeah, like, I think he'll, you know, that they can maybe show a little bit of mercy there. But,
yeah.
I mean, this dude, and it's all there on stream. And there's some other comments he made that were just really damning.
Yeah.
You know, in the course. So I just, brutal. Brutal.
Yeah, the wrestler he beat up is Stuart Smith, a.k.a. Yeah. Psycho Stu.
Yes.
Old Psycho.
You know, it's interesting. Rampage has kind of found, you know, he was in the UFC. He was one of the...
Yeah, he's been in our studios. I mean, he's a scary dude.
Yeah, he is.
A beast.
But you know, he was doing the UFC thing for quite a while. Was one of the faces, yeah. You know, in the mid to
he
late
2000s. He did Bellator, I think, for a while, too.
That was after UFC, for sure. Yep.
Yep.
And... You know, he was a pretty successful UFC fighter.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he made, you know, it ain't what they make today, but for that time, I mean, he was making, you know, pretty good money.
Yep.
And he was, again, main eventing and things like that. did he ever, how many?
I'm trying to see what his net worth was because, he's not a multi-millionaire. He's in that 4 to 6 million range is what the internet's telling us. But
yeah.
Now these guys are paid a lot more than that, even if they have the career that he had.
Yeah, he was the light heavyweight champion. In the UFC, so he was the 2007 Fighter of the Year.
Yeah,
so he had a little run. He had a little run there in the UFC.
Right when they started making real money. I mean, if you go back to like the Matt Hughes era, these guys were not making this kind of cash.
Oh, no doubt about that. Yeah.
So he was right at the start of when it really took off.
You remember when remember when UFC came to Memphis?
I do remember that.
And it was kind of crazy. Like I don't even remember who would have been. I think it was kind of a weak fight. It was UFC 107.
Where was it at?
It was at FedEx Forum.
Yeah, it was.
And it was BJ Penn.
Yeah, I remember BJ Penn because he was in that Matt Hughes
era. Diego Sanchez.
Those are great fighters, man. Those dudes were badasses.
Frank Mir, Czech Congo.
Yeah, see, the Penn Sanchez was the main event.
Yeah. I mean,
BJ Penn was that guy's name? BJ?
Yeah.
He was a badass.
Yeah, I mean, you know, not the biggest names, but I mean, it's pretty cool that UFC came to Memphis.
No, like, I grew up with Matt Hughes in Illinois. Like, these guys, because this was the beginning of before they sold this thing for $1 billion plus for these pay-per-view events, they were doing pay-per-views. But, like, man, they had to do other jobs to make money. Like, they weren't rolling in it.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
You know,
I mean, Quentin Jackson was supposed to fight. I'm just reading about this now. He was supposed to fight in that night, but
yeah.
He's supposed to fight Rashad Evans, which would have been a great fight, but
yeah.
He got cast for in the A-Team film.
Wow.
And so they had to cancel it.
Well, I hang out a little bit with some of these Attitude MMA guys that do the fights, and they're a sponsor of the show. They advertise with us. Attitude MMA does these fights, and their cards are impressive. You ever been to one of those?
Like, I haven't.
They are legit. They get about 2,000 to 3,000 people. They do them over there at Southland. And the last one they did, terrific card. They've got the guys from law school who's come in with your show.
Mm-hmm.
Law school's got like 4 or 5 of these dudes. And some of the guys are Royce Gracie guys. Like, they're real fighters from Arkansas. And anyway, that's almost like the minor leagues of UFC. I enjoy UFC. You're a UFC guy, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I enjoy following it.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, Rampage's kid. It's unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say, like, the other point. I was gonna eventually get there. You know, I kind of get distracted sometimes. But
no worries.
He's turned. You know, he's turned his career now as a streamer.
Who's that?
Rampage.
Rampage is a streamer.
He's a streamer, man. He's on Kick. He gets paid a ton of money to stream.
Man, all these streamers are making real money.
It's new media, man. It's where
it's
going.
Like our boy was here last week doing the
iShow Speed.
Yeah. 100%.
Now he's not. iShow Speed is like the biggest. He's just the biggest.
It sounds like he's literally number one.
In terms of the streaming game, he is number one.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
So,
after,
like,
all the gas that thing got last week was
you're
ridiculous.
You're not going to, like, that's not the average streamer. But
yeah.
it is where everybody wants to get.
Yeah.
But, you know, the problem is you have to, like, stream your life. You know, like, you have to be on all the time. You have to have camera crews. You have to have, you know, I mean, it's just kind of nuts.
It becomes Truman Show.
Exactly.
I don't want to be the Truman Show. I've never signed up for that.
It's just kind of nuts. And then, like, the idea, like, people sitting around watching it.
We do a little bit of it, but I feel like it's on the edge of healthy.
Yeah.
Like, that is totally not healthy.
No, I don't think it is.
Even with what iShow Speed was doing last week, you could tell it when you watch him, because you watched all day, you did a story on it, and I watched probably 2 hours. I even felt a little unhealthy watching it because, mm-hmm. you know, he had just gotten out of a mob of people. He's in his car. He's kind of cussing, and I'm like, man, I don't need people seeing my reactions to people.
Right.
You know?
Like, oh, yeah, no doubt.
I ain't signing up for that.
Yep.
And I know he's a multimillionaire, but it's also hard to get to that level.
Yep.
You sell your soul a little bit.
No, you do. There's no doubt.
So now we got a UFC fighter, a former UFC fighter who's doing it.
Yep, he's doing it, and his son had a deal as well, you know?
That's over.
And that's part of what gassed it all up. I mean, you're getting all these comments in the chat while you're sitting there waiting, and they're like, hey, man, you can't go out like that. You can't go out like that. And then you just kind of
encouraging him, like?
Sure, of course.
Wow.
Yeah, gassing him up. And then he, you know, they sent him out, as they say, and he indeed sent himself out, and now he's going to probably have to do prison time for it.
It is weird. You cannot use the internet as an instructor, though. Like, that's people literally react to that. Like to the fact that somebody is telling him to and he reacts to it like that, though.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, I was disappointed that it took as long as it took for that wrestler to get help. Like,
yeah.
They were just kind of letting him just
beat his ass.
Yeah, like, I mean, he probably
stepped in. I didn't see that
eventually,
far in the video.
Eventually, you know, about 10 to 15 punches later, there was another guy that kind of came. I guess he was, I'm sure there was an element of, is this really happening?
Yeah, like, you're right. You know, and see, that's the other part, right? In the lawsuit, that'll come out.
But
they'll be like, well, it's a.
It was happening.
You know, this is a wrestling event. And so he, you know, he, whatever.
Yeah. Roger Jackson is going to be charged and has been charged with felony assault. We'll see where it goes from here. But it does seem like, you know, you're probably going to have to do some time for that one. All right, we'll come back with the rundown. Thursday night football, college football, NFL this weekend. Stick around. Jason and John, Adichana FM, ESPN. Buffalo Bills win last night. Buffalo Bills do not cover last night. If you guys were listening yesterday, I told you Dolphins was the side. Dolphins plus 11.5, plus 12 was the side. They looked better. The Dolphins looked better, but it would have been tough to look worse than they had looked the first 2 weeks of the season. Just another night at the office for one Joshua Allen, 22 of 28, 213 yards, 3 tutties. It was just pretty easy, right? I mean, yeah. It was just a pretty I guess you could say Miami scored first, and so it wasn't wire to wire or anything like that, but I don't think there was ever any point where you're watching that game and you doubted whether the Buffalo Bills were going to win it. I mean, I know that, you know, Miami was driving down 7 there late, and maybe they go for a 2-point conversion or something. But Tua throws just a – I mean, that was just an egregious pick.
Yeah.
I mean, I so bad. That interception was so bad. I mean, he's just staring the guy down. It's like, this is
– boom.
This is the NFL, man. Yeah. Like, how are we still doing that? I mean, Tua, man, his stock – because, you know, the last couple of years, you know, you would have been able to blame injury, concussions, whatever. But he's on the field now, and he's bad.
Right.
He's very bad.
I mean, do you think McDaniels is a good coach?
I think he's weird, and so it's tough to get if you're not winning.
Right.
You know, I think he's going to lose the locker room. So I think that's the issue.
Well, the defense needed to step up there too at the end, and you can't let Josh Allen run for 30 yards at the end of the game and just ice that sucker. You know, that was brutal.
I mean, the pick though was just like,
yeah, the pick was bad.
Staring down your receiver. I mean, the defense,
all of it was bad.
The defense did what they needed to do. They forced a punt. I mean, I guess they did give up a long catch, but not a punt, but they forced a field goal.
Yeah,
you know, you're putting them in a tough spot, man. You're putting them in a really, really tough spot. But that's what the Bills are going to do to you too.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bills are going to they're going to put up 31, and they're going to make it to where you have to score every trip.
Yep.
I mean, that's the Josh Allen offense.
Got the MVP over there.
It certainly feels that way. It feels like he's going to do it again.
Yep.
Feels like he's going to go back to back right now. You know, if they continue to win at this clip, I mean, obviously not go undefeated, but if they win 13 games,
yeah.
It feels like it'll be him.
I think so.
I mean, I don't even know who would be in the running right now, if not, you know, like I said, Lamar's always there.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see on the Rams and Stafford. I think that he could make a sneaky little case.
Mm-hmm.
If they could, you know, Herbert.
Yeah.
Herbert is definitely in the conversation. I mean, you gotta put him in there. He's had, I think he's got 5 touchdowns.
I mean, honestly, it's going to have to be one of those two, Lamar or Josh, or somebody's going to emerge at this point, because nobody, especially the quarterbacks, have been disappointing. You know?
I mean, like I said, Herbert, you need to put some respect on Herbert's name. You've been listening too much, Jeffrey.
I've forgotten about Herbert, but we'll see.
560 yards through two games.
Yeah, he's good.
I mean,
he's got a great coach, got a good it's early, right? Got a couple wins under your belt.
Yeah, obviously it all depends on you know, team success as well.
Yep.
I mean, but the Chargers look like they're not going
anywhere.
They
did look awesome. You're right.
If Justin Herbert, I'll put it like this. If the Chargers win the AFC West, I think he's the MVP.
Yeah.
How about that?
I think you're right.
Because it's Mahomes. It's been Mahomes' division for the last however many years.
Yeah.
And here comes Herbert, and he takes it. And, you know, we'll see what that winds up being in terms of, you know, seeding. But, I mean, I think, you know, you would have to say that is because Josh has already done it, right? Josh has
His
been
odds
MVP.
Are plus 800, plus 900 is what they're saying for Herbert, somewhere around there.
To win MVP?
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see what that looks like for everybody. I mean, I'm assuming Josh Allen is the favorite. Lamar's going to always be
there. Those
two
are the favorites, yeah.
Just because they always are. I'm just going to look this up in my trusted couch.
Yeah, you've got the sources. I am not the gambler. You know this stuff. Some places it's higher.
Justin Herbert is third.
Yeah.
Josh Allen is 26% to win.
What about Love? What about Jordan Love? Jordan Love's looked great this
fourth.
Year.
He's fourth. I just don't think his numbers will be enough.
Yeah.
But maybe. I mean, if they are awesome, like in the quarterback on the awesome team is going to be in the discussion.
Yep.
No,
you're right.
But yeah, Herbert would be a guy. Like again, they need to win the AFC West to have the discussion. But they could. They're I would say the favorites right now to do it. They play the Broncos this weekend. They've already got one division win.
Yeah.
This would be two. I mean, if they win this weekend, that is a big step for Herbert in that discussion and that team overall.
I need to get used to saying that. We're just not, you know.
Yeah, I know.
It's a new day.
A non-Chiefs team is likely going to win the AFC West.
I mean, I would say that's the likelihood at this point the precincts aren't in at all, but, you know.
I mean, no. First of all, you have the head-to-head.
Yep.
I mean, you have the head-to-head already. I mean, you play again, but you got the head-to-head to start the season. The Chiefs are not going to be whole for a while.
We got four more weeks.
Yeah, you got four more weeks for Rashee Rice. Yeah. Thereabout. We'll see. You know how ready he'll be. I assume he'll be ready physically.
But that ain't the magic bullet, though, is it? I mean, because the receivers have looked terrible.
Well, they haven't had any. I mean, Xavier Worthy was out last week. He missed the majority of the first game in Brazil because he got hurt by Kelsey on that.
And Kelsey's been a problem.
Well, Kelsey's old. I mean. Yeah. You know, you guys just expect these players to be awesome forever.
Yeah,
you're spoiled.
We are.
You're spoiled.
I'm guilty of it, man.
Like Brian Kelly would say, man. Tom Brady made you guys think that every 35 plus year old, it has to be awesome.
Fair.
And they're just not going to be. I mean, Travis Kelce's retiring after this year. There's just no doubt about it.
No doubt about it.
Because the team is worse. He is 35. He's getting married.
Yeah,
like he's on to the next phase, man.
Yeah,
he's gonna play this out because he's like, you know, from his perspective, why not just keep trying to win Super Bowls? Why not just? But now that he sees it's not as possible anymore, he will move on. But you know, in terms of last night, I don't think there's anything about either team where you came away, you know, thinking anything differently, right? Like the both teams are who we thought they were. The Bills are a team that's going to put up 30-plus effortlessly.
It's wild because yesterday when we came in here, the number was 7.5, I think you had it at.
Oh, no, the Dolphins?
It
was 11.5.
Okay, so it ended 11.5. Yeah, because I think that went up, though, didn't it? Later on, it went up to that.
It closed 11. It closed 11 in game.
It didn't cover. Ron Olson came in this morning. They lost that one. Too many points. Ron Olson.
I don't know what book Ron is betting on.
I don't know. 11.5 is where he's at.
And
10 was the number.
Oh, so who did he have? The Bills?
He was on the Dolphins plus.
All right. Well, I don't understand how he lost that bet then because they covered 11.5 last night because they only lost by 10. So I would tell Ron he needs to stop betting. If he had a Dolphins ticket last night,
That
didn't win. Yeah. He needs to stop betting immediately, expeditiously, because he is just giving away money. But the Bills are who we thought they were. You know, scoring 30 plus. It feels like they're going to do that. That's what, three games now of 30 plus.
Yep.
Because you scored whatever it was against the Ravens. Mm-hmm. That was 41. Then you had, I think, 33 against the Jets. It was just 30, and now you've got 31 against them. So that's what they do. I mean, this is what they're going to do. They're going to put up 30, and you're going to have to find a way to either stop them or keep up.
The most miraculous one was the first one, though. That to me, I know it was amazing, and I know it was what Josh Allen does, but that game, man.
Yeah, I mean, it was a 1%.
That was done, bro.
Yeah.
Like, that game was, I realized, like, I actually just put on that game. Like, I know that we make a referendum on every single game in the NFL, but, like, there is a scenario where the Ravens are the better team still. Still.
That's what we talked about yesterday. Like, if it was a neutral site game, the Ravens would be favored.
Yes.
I mean, they were cruising for the majority of that game.
They had that game,
The Derrick Henry fumble, and then, you know, everything kind of went wrong for the Ravens. No question. And I think, that's just the way it would go. People would be surprised, but, I mean, honestly, you even though the Bills won the game, and I actually had a Bills plus one ticket.
Yeah.
Like, I it was a miracle.
It was miraculous.
It was like, you know, you play that game 100,000
times. How excited were
times.
You when you that cashed?
I kind of felt like I should have been paid out $1 million.
Facts.
For that bet. Like, you know? That's what I felt like, to be honest.
I imagine.
Because it's like, if it was a bad bet, because it was you know, just one unit, but it should have been, you know, it should have been 10 times, 50 times more than what it actually paid out based on the probabilities of this thing. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Sometimes that's how it goes.
Yep.
I'm happy that it won. You know, what can I do? I'm glad I didn't lose the money.
No.
So it's coming back to Papa. But yeah, Dolphins are a mess. They're 0-3 now. You know, I don't know how much longer Mike McDaniel's going to have there. Like I said,
he's gone. Dead man walking.
I think his personality is going to make it tough because again, he's a weirder guy.
I kind of like him though.
I like him.
I tend to gravitate towards weirdness. I can be weird myself. But
being weird when you're 0-3 doesn't play.
It's tough. Yeah.
You know, being weird is great when you're 4-0.
Right.
But when you're when you haven't won a game this season and your quarterback's playing poorly.
Yeah.
You got your disgruntled wide. I mean, they're kind of a mess. They're kind of a mess.
Yeah, I mean, it's a league where when, like, you know, we tend to stereotype a lot of these coaches. Like Dan Campbell, I was wrong on. He's not just a meathead. Like the guy apparently can coach football. You know, like I was wrong about him. Mike McDaniel, your weirdness kind of becomes your problem when you go 0-3, 0-4, 0-5, whatever.
Yeah. No, that's the way, 100%. Yeah. It's the way it goes. But the Buffalo Bills do end up getting the win last night on Thursday Night Football. Rest of the slate, Jaden Daniels officially ruled out for the Washington Commanders. Not going to play this weekend against the Raiders. I think it was kind of expected. I think they kind of feel like they can beat the Raiders without Jaden Daniels, to be honest, and I don't think they're wrong.
Mm.
Roll Mariota out there and just run the ball, and it'll probably be enough against the Raiders, to be honest. I hate to say it.
Your boy Bennett Doyle will be excited.
Yeah, I think, does he have Daniels?
He's just a big fan of Mariota.
That's right. I don't know if he's a fan of Mariota past the Titans days.
So he's gotten over that.
I think like once they leave your franchise, you know, you have to let them go.
You part ways with your love.
I mean, he probably does. He probably roots for the guy. Yeah. You know, there are some players that come and play for you and wear the jersey that you never quite, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people rooted for Mike Conley when he left the Grizzlies.
They did.
And still root for him because he's still playing.
We tend to root for ex-Grizzlies except for Marcus Smart.
Yeah, you know, I think like we don't really care about guys like that. Right?
No, we just sort of dispatched them if they did not perform for us, like, especially if
there haven't been a ton of guys that have spent real time here that left.
Yeah, I will say I don't think that we admire, like, we had this conversation about Rudy Gay, and he was trying to gas up the fact that they would have won more games or won that championship against the Spurs if he would have left. He is one that I do point to that we are not, I will argue we don't admire Rudy. and it's unfortunate because I think Rudy's a good guy. I think he was a great player, but it's sort of like Pau Gasol. Like now we're switching here to the Memphis Grizzlies, but I think that the point holds true. We don't always admire these guys unless they're part of group success, you know. And the fact is, the core four were that, and then these other cats that weren't part of that, you know, Tayshaun Prince parlayed it into a front office job for God's sakes.
That's right.
So
that's right.
We tend not to love these guys who weren't part of that group.
Yeah, I don't really sit around ever thinking about Rudy Gay.
I remember wanting him gone when he was on the team and thinking they were better with Tayshaun Prince because he wasn't a chucker.
Yeah, I'm very much ambivalent on Rudy, like as a former Grizzly. Like,
it's just like, man.
And I when he played, like, and he played with a lot of teams, I was like, you know, I don't want him to like fail, but I don't care if he's successful either.
By the way, Rudy was good to us. Like he came on this show. I mean, he came on the station and did a damn radio show for us. Like Rudy did nothing but awesome things for me personally.
And you turned your back.
I personally don't I personally like Rudy. I just remember thinking this team is better without Rudy when he left at the time when they traded him.
Well, it's impossible to know because you know they traded him and then
they were better with Tayshaun. I think. I think they kind of showed that a little bit.
You know, who knows? Maybe they get to where they get regardless. We don't know. But
Rudy's wrong about that one. They're not getting over the hump with him.
Yeah, you know, athletes have to be great. It feels like you have to have a little bit of delusion.
That's fair.
You know, you just have to, and it's not delusion to them. It's like if I don't believe I can do this,
right?
I'm not gonna do
it. You got to have a little bit of an edge, like that. I'm amazing at this and the best, and there's some little bit of psychological problems with that.
Yeah, like I get to come in here and I get to say, like, Memphis football ain't winning that game tomorrow,
right?
Like, they're not. They're 7.5 point underdogs. Like, there is an SEC team. It's like they got more money. But like Ryan Silverfield can't say that.
No,
Ryan Silverfield can't. He can't think like that.
Psychologically, you cannot think
like Brendan Lewis. You know, I can come in here and I can say, man, you know, decent passer. You know, hasn't really shown a whole lot. You know, maybe a downgrade from Seth Hennigan. Yes. We don't know. He can't think like that. He has to believe that like he's about to have the game of his life tomorrow, bro. Like he has to believe that he is about to do on national television what you know. What lots of teams can't do, which is beat an SEC team.
And I think that's where the delusional hate comes from. Like, everybody's against me, nobody's with me. Yes. That's where that comes from.
Well, I mean,
it's a psychology thing.
Look, I'm sure they get that.
Yeah.
I'm sure, like, in the course of anybody's career, they've gotten some level of hateful DMs or
of course.
Tweets or whatever the case may be. But, like, yes. I mean, the most famous example would be, like, Tom Brady.
Right.
In his 18th year. Saying, well, everybody said I sucked. Nobody said I could do this.
Delusional.
Nobody said I could win.
Yeah.
Like, bro, nobody said that.
No, you are the greatest, dog.
Like, you're just arguing with yourself. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It would be like it would be like Steph coming on TV and saying, they said I can't shoot. They said I wasn't a 3-point shooter.
Facts.
Bro, what? Yeah.
I think for a guy like LeBron, you can do that because you can say, if they don't think I'm the greatest, you can take it to another
LeBron
level.
LeBron does that. Like, he'll post a picture of him dunking and he'll put washed king. Like, he's convinced himself as one of the.
It's a psychological thing, right?
Buddy, you were one of the two greatest basketball players ever.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, no, it doesn't, you know, and Kevin Durant wastes so much time. He goes back and forth with these people. You know,
he gets a little in the weeds, bro.
One part of me like really appreciates that he's willing to pull the curtain back like that and interact with fans in that way. But the other part of me is like, brother, why?
He's too vulnerable, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, you know, again, and I think if you were to ask him, he doesn't look at it as vulnerable. He looks at it as I'm doing what people always accuse athletes of not doing.
Yeah,
which is interact and communicate with fans. So that's that. You know, he would tell you, why would you say that's vulnerable?
Man,
you know?
He is so awesome. I think he is an amazing player. I just wish
everybody thinks he's an amazing player.
He's a freaking ratchet.
It's like, that's the thing. Like, there's really no controversy with most of these athletes.
No,
you know, like it's not the Gerald Green,
right?
You know, like we're not arguing about Gerald Green being a great NBA player. Right. You know, we're talking about like one of the four, five, six best scorers of all time.
Yeah.
But he, you know, and that's a part of the psychology that I got to say I don't understand.
Yes.
Is like he feels the need to defend his good name on the internet with these strangers.
Yes.
And I don't understand why he feels the need to do it. I mean, that, you know, and again, he'll justify it and he'll say, I'm interacting with my fans. I'm talking to my fans. Like, bro, it ain't, you're just wasting time. Because if that fan, you know, has convinced themselves that you're not what we objectively all agree you are, they're just never going to change their mind no matter how much you tweet them.
The funny thing going back to the Grizzlies part of this, which is why we got on this, and being out on some of these dudes, Rudy Gay, is the most recent example I can think of as a fan of the Grizzlies is Desmond Bane. Something happened to fans last year that is weird as hell to me. And I realize you do it because he's no longer on your team, fans. But let me just tell you something. Desmond Bane going to go out here and beat your ass next year, and you're going to wonder why you disparaged Desmond Bane. Hear me now and believe me later on this, John. Like, these fans that are delusional that we didn't lose our best shooter and that somehow we're going to be better off without Desmond Bane, as a fan of this cat, I can't wait to see him kick everybody's ass next year with the Orlando Magic.
Wow, you want the Magic to beat the Grizzlies?
No,
for Desmond
I listened to your friend Mike Miller talk about this in this studio, in front of both of us, and he laid this out pretty thoroughly. And I hate saying this because I am a mega Grizzlies fan. I was sad when he went. I don't think you're better off without him. And like Howard's going to have to be outrageous for you to even get close to how good you were without Desmond Bain.
No, I'll admit that I don't know if I see the vision, but you know we'll have to see it.
Good luck.
We'll have to see it. I mean, I think what we can objectively say is that core had reached its ceiling. It had topped out.
Yeah. And maybe, so they, but you got to work around the edges to figure out with those three if you're going. Now, you probably aren't going to be able to pay all three, but they didn't want to admit that.
Well,
you just can't pay all three of them.
There's contracts that you have to worry about.
I get that.
And Jaren is a two-way player, you know, and so you have to pay Jaren. You're not going to trade Ja. So the musical chairs stop, and Desmond Bane doesn't have a chair.
But this idea, but what I don't want to hear is the disingenuous fan.
They did get four first rounders for him.
Yeah, they did, and you needed him because he's amazing, you know? So, like, their haul was good, but this idea that fans delusionally will say this, save that part of it, you know? Like, that's the part I probably I don't need to hear.
Well, we'll see. It'll all play itself out. Yeah. You know, there will be a grade on this trade. I mean, there's no doubt about that. If Desmond Bane goes to the Grizzlies, or excuse me, goes to the Magic.
Now, the assets look great. It could be like Marcus Saul's trade where we some things funnel out, but it's going to take a couple years.
Of course. You got to let the cake bake, man.
Yep.
They have a vision. But yes, Mariota is going to get the start for the Commanders.
Speaking of washed.
Exactly right. Around the NFL. Not a ton of great games this weekend. Broncos Chargers will be, you know, that'll be a good one at 3:00.
Yeah.
Rams Eagles will be fun at noon. No doubt about that. I think that's Eagles -3.5.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got on Monday night Detroit and Baltimore. So
the two games we're carrying on Sunday, Bengals Vikings. No interest in that because Burrow's out. Right?
And so is Minnesota's starter.
Yeah, the battle of no quarterbacks.
Jake Browning versus Carson Wentz.
Cardinals 49ers in the afternoon on 92.9. That, what about that one?
Probably no Purdy. So you're down a starting quarterback in that one as well.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean,
Vikings are without
NFL game.
Vikings are no Aaron Jones. He's out. So Vikings might be really screwed.
That does it. Yeah. That was just the last thing I needed to hear.
That's my player, man. Don't be jacking around with
the
my running back.
The great Aaron Jones is out for the Minnesota
How dare
Vikings.
You? How dare you?
That's another guy who's like on the. This is like probably his last year.
That's it.
He's you know, running backs don't last long anyway. But
he was one that I drafted on name. There's no question.
Yeah.
You know.
And they brought in they brought in Jordan Mason.
Yeah,
so.
And he looked good last weekend.
Yeah, it was kind of heading that direction anyway for old Aaron. But you know, they're load managing. Hopefully, he can be healthy for the playoffs and you know, get him a touchdown or two.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way these bets go. So anyway, Bills looked incredible last night on Thursday Night Football, as expected. They moved to 3-0. College football this weekend. Football. Memphis plays Arkansas tomorrow inside Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. Were you aware of this game?
I heard about it. 11:00 kick. I heard it's on national TV.
Yes.
ABC. I did hear Jeff talk about his leave time. That was a big part of the morning show. Sounds like he's leaving early to beat the traffic down Southern. So you either want to be there early or wait until the thing kicks off and then drive up. But also, Karen Perrin told me, you know, also line up early to get into the stadium, both things.
So. Oh, brutal.
Yeah, that was kind of tough, a couple of those early.
11 a.m., dog?
Yeah.
What time I got to leave?
I think you're leaving at 8:00 from your Germantown estate.
Oh, that's terrible.
Because you want to be in the park, and you want to be tailgating with your friend, and then you want to go over to the stadium and get in the line because you want to see kickoff, presumably.
Yeah.
So you want to be in the line at probably 10:00.
I don't want to do tailgating at 8:00 in the morning, you know?
No Bloody Marys for John Martin?
I just think it's terrible. I think tailgating that early in the morning is awful because it just sets you up to you know, have a long-ass day.
Yeah.
It's going to be super hot probably. But obviously, as you can tell, I wasn't hired to promote the game.
Clearly not. You're not on the take on this, but you're going to the game. You are going to the game.
I'm not going to the game.
You are not going to the game.
I'm not going to the game. No.
Okay. Jeff Calkins will be there.
He'll handle it. He'll handle it on my behalf. But it'll be Taylen Green, Brennan Lewis, Sam Pittman, Ryan Silverfield. Memphis is a 7.5-point underdog. Look, I think I've given you my analysis of this game a million different times. it's just going to be about if Memphis can keep up offensively.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's it. And that's all it comes down to. And I don't think they can.
Memphis going to win.
They are not going to win. They're not going to win. Brad
shock
is,
the world.
Brad is somebody on each show is contractually obligated to say that Memphis
will win. I just
will win.
Feel like it's their time. This is their year. I mean, we need to get Arkansas's not good. Arkansas is not good.
Is Memphis good?
I think Memphis is good. They should be good. They are good. They should win the game.
Well,
I said undefeated this season.
Look,
not a great schedule. I mean, they got Arkansas. You don't want to play a better team than Arkansas in the SEC. They're not that good.
Yeah, I mean, Arkansas is a middle of the pack SEC team. You know, they have a lot more money than you. They have a lot more talent than you. I think the number is right at 7.5. I said that earlier this week. I would not touch it either way. If it gets back to 7. And you just need to bet something, Arkansas, I could probably endorse, but I would not touch Arkansas at 7.5. And again, I just don't really have a lot of faith in Memphis right now against an offense like this one. I mean, Taylen Green is leading the SEC in touchdowns. He is fourth. It's in passing yards. He's fourth in touchdowns. This guy is as dynamic as it gets. He's their leading passer. He's their leading rusher. He is an incredible player. He has more rushing yards than Sutton Smith. Okay,
yep.
That's Memphis' starting running back, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
So I just think it's going to be tough.
He's outrageously good. There's no question.
It's going to be tough. I will just reiterate: if Memphis loses this game, it's fine. Like, you have your opportunity still very much in front of you. It's not going to be some referendum on the quality of the team if they lose this game tomorrow. They're big underdogs. The market believes they're going to lose this game tomorrow, and that's the likelihood is that that's what's going to happen. But when that happens, they can still make the college football playoff. All they have to do is just win their home games. They have to beat South Florida. They have to beat Tulane. Everything is still right in front of Memphis. So, you know, it's just like, honestly, it's just go have fun, kids.
Do you think, okay, let me ask you this scenario. In a scenario where Memphis happens to pull the upset on this one, does it look like a game where they're just doing contain and they just double down and they stop him running and then they're somehow able to just sort of patch the pass defense together?
I don't think they're going to stop Taylen Green. I think they're going to, the only way they win this game is if they just, I think, go for two at the end of the game or something.
Right.
Like, it's a, you know, 41-40 type of game like the Bills and Ravens, you know? I think that's you're not gonna beat them straight up. Like, I just don't see that happening. If they are able to, you know, establish a run in some way, I mean, I think that's where this just goes left. That to me,
we're running.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think it goes left because Memphis is not able to establish the run.
Mm-hmm.
That's the issue. They run a lot.
And, yeah.
I mean, that's how they play. And so I think when you're going up against an SEC defensive line, I mean, you got Sutton Smith, 41 carries, Brandon Lewis, 32 carries,
mm-hmm.
Botterford, 21 carries. I think they pronounce his name as Payzant.
Payzant.
He's got 16 carries.
Yeah.
You know, DeRozier's would have a lot more if he was healthy. He's not going to play in this one. That hurts. So,
yeah,
I mean, I think it's just it's a difficult style they play against this particular team, right? From the SEC, like it's SEC, it's NFL linemen, bro. Like, not that Arkansas's defense is anywhere close to the best in the country. It's not, but it's just all relative.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the fifth or sixth or seventh or eighth best SEC defense is probably the best defense in the American.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
No, you're right.
So it's just,
you're not wrong.
It's just that's the difficulty here.
Yeah.
Now they'll play the game, and Memphis. The one thing Memphis has going for it is that historically in these spots, whether it's, you know, Mississippi State over the years, Florida State last year, Ole Miss, they thrive in these spots against the Power Four. They really do. And it's not a hard talk to have with your team before the game, is it?
Yeah, no. They're going to be motivated.
It's about as – look, just use my use my segment. You know, I'm not really hating on them, though. I'm just saying it doesn't matter.
You're keeping it real.
I'm just saying, like, I'm not going to criticize Memphis. If they lose if they lose 59-0,
you don't want to get killed.
You know, that would change some things, I think. But if
wouldn't it change your, you know, you come in Monday, if you lose by 60, 50 points, 40
hell yeah.
points?
Yeah. We got problems. I mean, you can't lose by 60.
You need to be competitive is what you're saying.
Yes. I mean, you got people walking around Memphis thinking they're going to win the game. You think they're going to win the game.
I think they're going to win the game.
So if they lose by 60?
And the line suggests it should be within a touchdown or so.
We'll see. It's gone out to 7.5. You know, that's a pretty big move. You know, past seven.
That's started at 6.5.
It opened at 6.5. Yep, and it's been nothing but Arkansas money. I did see 5.5s at FanDuel on Sunday afternoon, but not for anything that you could actually bet. Like I could only get like $300 down on that, so it wasn't like it was like they were taking big money on that. But yeah, I mean, I'm not hating on Memphis. I'm just saying, like, my emotional investment is not in this game. You will hear my emotional investment in a few weeks when they play South Florida, when they play Tulane. You know,
both very good teams.
Honestly, any AAC game, because it was not the Tulane game they lost last year. Mm-hmm. It was the Navy game they lost last year. It was the
UTSA that's the thing. Those are the games that you're susceptible. I mean, you get up for these games, but it's like everyone. It's very cliche, but it's like you can lose a game. You know, you go to FIU or FAU or whoever you're playing next weekend.
Very disrespectful.
Sorry.
Very disrespectful. I mean, they easily could have lost to Charlotte last year. That took a heroic last minute drive from Seth Hennigan in that one to beat Charlotte here. North Texas was an 8-point game. Rice was a touchdown
game. Yeah, that was at home.
I mean, it's just, it's thin, man. It's thin. So, yeah, I mean, the real season to me starts on September 27th when you go to Florida Atlantic. Mm-hmm. You know, this is pageantry. This is what people love about college football. Like, it's fun.
Yeah, it is.
But it's not really meaningful.
No.
It's meaningful if you win in a couple ways. Like, I think if Memphis pulls this off, there will be some real, because it's tough. It's tough for Memphis, bro.
Yeah.
Like, historically, it always has been. Because when you get to October, you can start to feel the hoops a little bit, right?
Yes.
And so you got Grizzlies starting, you got Tiger basketball starting. And so typically what tends to happen, maybe less so in recent years, but, the attention span turns.
Yeah, it does suck though that we're not going to. It does feel like we're not going to get any of these games anymore. That's the other thing. This is like the finale of that.
Well, I mean, that's the way that college athletics is going. There's no doubt.
The SEC's decision too.
Yeah, I mean, it's all these teams, right? I mean, they feel like that. If you're in the Big Ten, if you're in the SEC, we don't need to do anything outside of this because
we need a really sucky team. We don't need a middle sucky team or a mid-level team.
I guess
team.
They're forcing them to play one other power four team in that three-game slate, but Memphis obviously is not in a power league, so it can't be them. Anyway, enjoy it. Tomorrow, 11 o'clock on ABC. It should be a lot of fun. We'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Part of the podcast is going to join us at 125. Stick around. Jason and John, I'm trying to find ESPN. Black Tie Moving has changed the mood in the city of Memphis because when you're moving, you're not just moving things. You're moving pieces of your life. They get that. They're going to help you do just that. They're going to take care of the move. Show up when they say they're going to show up. Stay on budget. No surprises at the end. These guys are the absolute best. I've used them twice. And if I ever move again, I'm going to use them. 316-6196 is the phone number. Get on the schedule. Books up fast. It always does. Black Tie Moving. They're changing moving in the city of Memphis. Around college football, Tennessee's going to try to get its revenge a little bit, get that bad taste out of their mouth from last week. They got UAB coming in. So
just with the doctor order right there.
It is. 30.5-point favorites for the Tennessee Volunteers. So I would expect them totally to wipe the floor with the Blazers there. Although the Blazers are a little more competitive than they were a year ago. I'll say that. Obviously, they're not going to be Tennessee, but they are 2-1.
Yeah.
I mean, they're above 500.
I haven't paid enough attention. I think I saw the game against Alabama State where that was the biggest game ever.
Yeah,
that was the only one I paid attention to. They won by 10.
It was an absolute dogfight. They were losing in that game for the majority of it, and then they pulled away there late. Ole Miss hosting Tulane, that'll be a fun one. Ole Miss is an 11.5-point favorite.
That's a good game, right?
Great game.
Is that a winnable game for Tulane?
They're 11.5-point underdogs.
Yeah.
So what would that tell you?
They would have to play very well, and outcome the odds of gamblers, if you
will. I would say if you're a double-digit underdog, it is not winnable, right?
Not winnable.
It is not winnable.
I love Tulane. I think they're a really good football team, and I could see them going in and doing something because we've seen, be it Kentucky and other teams, the downshift from these Ole Miss Rebels.
Yeah, like it's – so put it this way. Tulane is the same exact underdog against Ole Miss as Miami was to Buffalo last night. Yep. Would you have said that game was winnable for Miami?
Yeah, I mean, I could see a winnable scenario. I'm not a gambler, so I don't know. All I know is, you know, I'm going by feel.
I don't even know. I'm not even talking about it in terms of, you know, a number here. But if you were watching that game, would you have said in the middle of the third quarter that Miami could win this game? Like, would you have said that?
Could? Yes. They could win that game. There's a scenario.
There is a scenario where if the earth opened up and Josh Allen fell through it, you know,
I wouldn't gamble on it, but I would say there is a scenario where you win that game. I wouldn't have said it was a winnable game in the first game watching it when the Bills won.
For sure.
You know, to that same point, you know.
Although, you know, that was a pick'em basically, right? Like just in terms of where the teams are rated. Look, upsets do happen, but not that much.
Yeah.
Not as much as we would like them to happen. You know, it is a backup quarterback for Ole Miss, so most likely. So
he's good though. I think people have disrespected our guy from Ferris State.
Yeah, Chambliss. Yeah,
yeah, that kid's good.
I just don't think there's much of a drop off. That's why it's 11.5. You know, I mean,
that kid's real, real good.
It's not like it's 5.5 here. I would expect Ole Miss to handle it.
Okay.
Georgia Tech hosting Temple. Nobody cares. We do have a ranked matchup here. Texas Tech versus Utah. I haven't really paid attention to anything going on in the Big 12. It doesn't really excite me. It's not a league that I take very seriously because of the way they treated Memphis. So
Those are two really good football teams.
Yeah, they are. And Texas Tech has the most money of anybody, so they should be good.
Yes.
You know, I would say if they're not good, we got a problem. Like, where's the money going?
Right.
Miami-Florida was supposed to be a good game. It is not, unfortunately, turned into that by the time we play that game on Saturday at 6:30. And then the other ranked matchup here is Illinois-Indiana.
Yep.
Illinois, top 10.
I think they're overrated. And I say this with all due respect to the Illini. I think the Big Ten's way overrated this year. And the idea that Illinois is the ninth best team in the country is, I think it's also
crazy.
Bogus that Penn State is as good as they're ranked. But, I mean, I think Penn State's more legit.
Right.
I think Miami might be one of if not the best team in the country.
Yeah.
But I don't know about Illinois. Like, the problem is, think people have overrated Indiana in the same regard, even last year when they were a playoff team. Like, it's not like these are, like, world-beating teams. They're not in the SEC. It's just a fact.
Indiana really hasn't. I mean, they haven't played anybody.
No.
Right? They played Old Dominion. They played Kansas State. And now, again, they run these scores up like crazy.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, you don't really know what it means.
Do you like either one? I mean, any of these teams, like, think they're some world beaters? I mean, I
don't know if I'd say world beaters. I do like the Indiana coach, though.
Yeah, I do, too.
I mean, I think he's, you know, he's definitely braggadocious, but I love how aggressive he is.
Yeah.
The guy's really aggressive, and I appreciate that in college football.
I know it's not on anybody's radar, and I'm not trying to jump around on you, but I actually like this TCU-SMU game. I mean, these teams aren't as, like, historically awesome as they've been, but they're both really good, and this is apparently the last time they're going to play.
For a while. Okay.
Because they're getting rid of these regional rivalries and they're not in the same conference.
Yeah, I haven't really been locked into that one. But you know, again, SMU made it out, man. They made it out.
They paid for it.
Auburn, Oklahoma. Yeah, that's a fun one.
Okay.
You know,
they got the old quarterback there.
Two ranked teams. And I'm pretty sure, Auburn's it's Oklahoma's former quarterback going against his old team.
That's it.
And John Mateer, you know, going for his Heisman campaign. So, yeah. I mean, that, you know, there's some. I mean, it's not a great college football slate, but, you know, it's serviceable, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
It's a decent one. I think there's some opportunities if you want to do some other things tomorrow. You can do some other things tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you can get some honeydews done if you need to get some honeydews done.
I'm going to the Mississippi State game. They're playing Northern Illinois. Barring a significant upset, hopefully they can win that game. This is State Bulldogs.
That's a big one.
Yeah, I mean, Northern Illinois I don't think is as good as they were last year when they upset Notre Dame. So Mississippi State should go to 4-0.
Yeah, you're a 21.5-point favorite.
Yep.
Why'd you pick that one? Is it just because it was available?
My brother didn't want the tickets.
Gotcha. So these are the games that get passed
on. I get the schlub tickets. Yeah. You know, I don't get the Arizona State. I get Northern Illinois.
Yeah, so there's no question. But you'll be there. It'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
3:15.
Jake's going to go with me, so we're going to do that.
Awesome.
Drive down there.
Make it a weekend.
See what's up.
So yeah, we'll continue to get our playoff pictures this weekend, and I mean, Florida State's playing, you know, Kent State. I mean, we're still in
that's gonna be an asshole.
We're still in that weird why are you playing? Like, why is Mississippi State playing Northern Illinois? Why is Florida State playing Kent State? Like, we're not quite into the thick of it yet.
I haven't paid attention since the Alabama game to Florida State, and I realize they haven't played anybody. I mean, them and Miami look to be the studs in that league.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been, you know, kind of light.
We got to wait a little bit.
No question about that. But, yeah, should be a fun weekend of college football. Of course, highlighted by Memphis, Arkansas at 11. Parth Upadhyay is going to join us at 1:25. We will talk to him about Memphis basketball, the latest. Obviously, that roster is complete. So we'll do that around 1:25. Stick around. Jason and John, 93.9 FM, ESPN.